Hey everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome to They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
today we just watched Manos, The Hands of Fate.
I think we should start with, how did you first find out about this thing?
So I heard about it, there was an interview with like Quentin Tarantino, and he had said something like it was his favorite comedy or something. So I was like, you know what? I really want to watch that, but I just never did. I kept hearing like just infamous things about it. How did you hear about it?
If you go on IMDb, there's the top, bottom 100 movies. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, this was number one.
I think that's for good reason, though. Like, yeah. I mean, after watching it.
It's been swapped out a couple of times, but this was for a very long time the number one worst movie ever. And that's all I knew about it. I knew it was on Mystery Science Theater. But I've tried watching this once. I only made about 20 minutes, and I think you did the same.
Yeah, I did. I tried watching it once after I saw the interview, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try and watch it if it's Quentin Tarantino. I love Quentin Tarantino, so like, you know, if it's his favorite, if it's his favorite comedy, I should try watching it. And I got 20 minutes in, and I was like, this is garbage. Like, I don't want to watch this ever.
I quit at the part where they're in the house and the dog dies, because it was just so incompetent and boring. I just gave up completely, but we finally did it.
I know, we finally made it through the whole thing. I can't believe, like, it's only like an hour and 13 minutes, but man, it feels like an eternity. It feels so long.
let's start from the beginning. The first 20 minutes of this is just literally just driving.
It's pretty much, yeah, just driving. I think, like, either that or just, like, you know, exposition shots of like Texas.
Horrendous flute music.
Yeah, just flute music through the whole thing. Like, it just, it does not stop either. Like, it's just relentless. Like, I thought at some point it was gonna break and, like, you know, they were gonna stop driving and actually get to the place. But man, and then like when it shows that kissing couple, like you,
well,
I thought it was
the same people, right? Because she has on, both women have blue dresses on, and both guys have, like, the generic 1960s haircut. I thought it was the same people.
Yeah, and they both have kind of, like, the blue, like, yeah, like looking shirt.
And they're in
to
a convertible car.
I know, and, like, for a second, I thought they were the same couple, too, but then I noticed that they weren't. So, like, man, like,
like, oh my God, I don't even,
like, the horrible shot. Like, I mean, like, some of the shots I was like, oh, wow, they actually kind of tried. Then other shots I was like, wow, okay, they didn't try at all. Like,
well, in the opening, it's, they keep driving around, and it shows, like, from the perspective of the driver, and it's like he's about to drive right into a bush, and then it cuts. Right. Drastic, and then suddenly he's on another road, and then he's about to drive into a cliff, cut, another road. Just repeat that for like 5 minutes.
I think during the whole podcast, we're going to keep talking about like the continuity and the jump shots. Like, I can't believe they jumped so many shots. Like, it's pretty incredible, yeah. Actually.
Now, scenes don't, if you, anytime they're trying to set up tension, they'll cut to like something that just makes you laugh your ass off.
I know, right?
Like, there's a part where they're staring at the scary painting on the wall, and it just keeps cutting to the girl and the dog messing around. And it's just, there's no purpose to it.
Everything is pointless in this movie. Like, I don't understand how, like, such a pointless film exists. Like, I get it.
It was made because a fertilizer salesman made a bet.
Uh-huh.
I don't know for how much money.
That's the rumor I keep hearing, and I think it's actually true. Was like,
well, what I've read is that when they had the premiere, that, I don't remember exactly what happened, but I think, like, people just walked out. Because they had their premiere in wherever the hell they filmed this, some town in Texas. And everyone was like, oh, it's this big movie that they filmed here. And then they went to watch it, and then they're just, like, the worst thing anyone's ever seen.
Well, I think it's quite possibly the worst thing I've ever seen, too, so.
I think the director is actually an actor in the movie. I don't know who.
I wonder who he plays, because I'd like to know. I know he doesn't play the master.
Yeah, I don't know. It's embarrassing.
It really is. I think we've so we talked about the beginning and everything, and
I think I'm missing something. Oh yeah, the cops.
Yeah, the cops.
No,
yeah,
taillight.
Yeah, no taillight. They pull over this couple that's driving We don't even know. I don't think it ever explains where. Am I mistaken?
I'm serious. I'm being serious when I say that I literally don't remember them saying anything. But the assumption I get is they're trying to get out into the country for like a weekend or something.
The Texas countryside kind of thing.
Which in the movie is like a mile away from town, but whatever.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, but yeah, the cops, like when they pull over this like couple that's driving into the Texas countryside and like they pull them over and are like, hey, you have no taillight, or you have a taillight problem. That's the final line.
Like, they're like, we thought it was just pointless because they pulled them over. They're like, yeah, your taillight's out. And they're like, oh, well, we're in a hurry, blah, blah, blah. And the cop's like, okay, well, I'll let you go this time. But remember, no taillight.
Like, yeah. Like, what? Who has conversations like that?
Oh, everything in the movie is dubbed. We had mentioned that.
Yeah, I think we should mention the fact that, it, like, literally, there's no, like, exterior sounds. Like, there's no... There's no, like, footsteps. There's no, like, birds chirping. There's no anything. There's no sound except for the dubbing and what sound effects they put in. That is literally the only thing they put in.
God. The sound... So the movie feels like someone's nightmare because there is no sound effects other than stock. Like, there's the stock barking noises. And it's just obviously, like, they just had them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, there's no footsteps, no doors opening, nothing.
I know, and it's kind of weird.
All it is the horrible dubbing and the horrible music. Just horrendous music. Also, the director played Michael.
Oh, he played Michael?
Yeah, he played Michael.
Alright, so the...
embarrassing.
The protagonist of the film. Yes, so...
So it's a van, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to look so awesome in this movie. All my friends are going to be so impressed, all my... fertilizer salesman friends.
They're like, look at how good of a job I did in this movie. Like, look at how good my acting was.
He spends half the movie tied up and then, quote unquote tied up to something.
I mean, before we get to that, we gotta talk about when they pull up to the house and meet Torgo.
Well, that's when we found out that the 90% of the movie is just people staring at each other.
I know, seriously. Like, I thought when they got out of the car, it was gonna be more like, you know, something else. But apparently it just is more people staring at shit and, like, you know.
The scene where they get to the house is just, they, like, get there, they pull over, and then the Torgo, the man with the knees, the caretaker, or whatever the hell you want to call him, just stares at them for, like, 30 seconds, and then they stare at him for 30 seconds until they finally get out of the car.
It's like they, like, put, like 10 pairs of knee pads on this guy.
Yeah.
And we're just like, hey, just walk around. It'll look really weird if you look like you have gigantic knees.
And he has fake eyebrows.
Yeah.
And occasionally, because he keeps raising his eyebrows because he wants to look twitchy, you can constantly see the second eyebrow above his actual eyebrow. And it just looks like he has two sets of eyebrows.
Just wait until we get to the part where you can actually see his eyebrows rubbing off. Or the rustling to death scene. So when they get to the house, like, Torgo introduces himself, and man, this guy, I don't know, like, if they just, like, it looks like they just put him in a bunch of itchy clothes and were like, okay, act as uncomfortable as possible.
He's sweating his ass off.
Yeah. Like, and he's, like, he just, like, so unnerved and stuff like that, but it's not in, like, the way of, like, good acting, it's just the way of, like, he looks like a man that is, like, way too uncomfortable doing what he's doing.
Oh, no, it's the greatest acting ever. All you have to do is just kind of roll your shoulders and then sweat a lot.
I mean, honestly, he became my favorite character in the movie just because, like, compelling acting.
My favorite character is the rattlesnake, but we'll get to that one later.
We'll have to get to that later. So, when they enter the house, right?
When they stare at the painting for, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, after they make Torgo grab the luggage and, like, take it inside for them, because apparently this random house in the Texas countryside is the safest place to stay at night.
You don't understand. In the mono cinematic universe, main characters are incapable of carrying their own luggage.
Right.
So as long as you carry their luggage, they're held hostage, because they have to keep getting Torgo to carry the luggage. But if... They can't carry it by themselves.
No.
Because later on when they try to leave, they're like, Torgo, get the luggage. and he just doesn't get the luggage.
So, like, I feel like they, like, walk in the house, like, the kid, like, instantly has to take a nap. Debbie has to take a nap. And
oh, you remembered her name.
Yeah, okay. I know. I'm surprised.
I watched this movie 20 minutes ago, and I don't remember
her name. I know, right? It's like, I remember the Master, Torgo, Michael, and Debbie. I cannot for the life of me remember the wife's name.
Did she have a name?
I don't know if she did.
I don't think she did.
I think she might have, but I cannot remember it for the life of me. So, anyway, so when they get in the house, like, yeah, like, no exaggeration, they stare at this painting for, I think, like, a good minute or two.
Get used to this painting, because you're going to see it many times.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing is, like, the more I think about it, I'm convinced that they didn't have the painting on hand, because you never see the painting, like, in the room or anything like that. It's just this one shot of it.
Exactly. They keep
repeating
yeah.
over and over.
Well, and it's a perfectly framed shot of it yeah. too. Like he just like they painted it afterwards after they filmed the entire movie, and we're just like, okay, we need to add what they're looking at because we need to have this make sense, even though almost nothing in the entire film makes sense. So,
oh god, my brain's dying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
what happened after they looked stared at the painting.
A Torgo came back in yeah. and was, well, like...
I just remember it became night, like, right away.
Yeah, it became night, and then, like, the dog gets out.
The dog and,
like,
gets out and gets away. Killed by something.
Something.
I'm like guessing it's the... There's a Doberman later in the movie that you see in the painting, but, like, the Doberman that they got is, like, the least threatening Doberman on the planet.
Right.
But I'm guessing that's what killed their dog, because they just run outside, and suddenly their dog's dead, and it's like a puppet just laying in the desert, and they're, like... You know, just pretending to be horrified because it's the worst acting just ever.
Well, you can tell these actors, if you can call them that, had no experience before. Like, they had zero experience. Or if they did have experience, it was, like, maybe small TV or roles or something. Or any experience
with human emotion in general.
Apparently not, yeah.
Because, the person who wrote the movie had no experience with human emotion ever.
Well,
again, like, that scene happens, it's just night. They get there, it's day. The dog runs outside, it's suddenly pitch black. They can't leave because they can't drive at night for some reason. Their car apparently doesn't have headlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, I love when the guy tries to start it, they dub over this weird sound of a car trying to start. And then, like, even before that, he tells Torgo to put the luggage back in the car.
Because, again, in the cinematic universe of this movie... Characters can't carry their own luggage.
Why would the protagonist of a film carry luggage to his own car, Alex?
I know. It's like 5 feet away.
I know. Like, okay? It's really hard to go in that room and grab that luggage and put it back in your car.
Well, it's absurdly difficult. Especially when it's pitch black, apparently, and your car doesn't have headlights. But it doesn't matter because in typical cliche fashion, the car won't start anyways.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like typical horror film.
And then... Torgo falls in love with the wife.
Yeah, so...
It culminates in the most awkward scene I have ever witnessed.
Like, I don't know if they... I mean, obviously they're trying to go for, like, an uncomfortable vibe, but it just... The actors are so bad that it came off just, like, silly.
Like, it's, like, 5 minutes of them staring at each other as he's just, like, the master wants you, but I want you. As he twitches around and rolls his shoulders. And then it cuts to her, and she looks like her... It's the exact opposite expression of what you would think she should be having in this whole scene. And then he touches her hair, and it's like this close-up shot of his hand.
Just like curling her hair and stuff.
It lasts way too long. It's awkward as hell.
And to be honest, like,
she doesn't stop.
She seemed more okay with it than she should have.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're standing in the room. And she's like, get away from me. Get away from me. He's like, no. No, she doesn't say get away from me. She says, like, let me go.
Let me go. And he's not even, like, blocking anything. Yeah. Like, he's just
standing there. He can't even run.
And we've already established that he walks very, yeah. very slowly because of his gigantic knees.
He can't run.
Like, so why couldn't you have just gotten away? Like, I don't...
No, she has to keep being like, get away from me. Get away from me. She's just... As they just stand there in this room.
It's just such a ridiculous scene. Like, I don't even know how to, like... I feel like people should watch it for themselves just to see this scene. Like, it is one of the most, like...
You don't need to feel our pain.
Fascinating scenes.
Don't listen to them. You don't need this pain in your life.
I don't know. Like, I don't encourage watching this film. Like, I would never recommend this film to anyone to watch. I feel like us talking about it is enough. Like, this is all you need. But, like, I feel like that scene, like, it just, it requires at least a clip of it. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man.
The last thing I'll say about that scene is I'm pretty sure they filmed it after the fact. Because after that, the scene just ends. And Torgo and the wife just leave the room as if nothing happened. As if he didn't just, like, threaten to, you know, make her his wife or whatever. As if he didn't just touch her. They just leave the room like nothing happened. And the husband just, like, are you ready to go? And she's just like, yeah, I guess I am. Or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even remember what they said. But, like, yeah. They come out totally fine. And I think they even had, like...
She was wearing the thing
like
on her head.
She was, like, the bonnet. Yeah, like...
In the scene, she didn't have it on. I'm pretty sure they filmed it after the fact.
I feel like they filmed a lot of this movie after the fact. Especially when the kid... Like, the kid goes from this weird, like, kid dubbing in the beginning. I think we should talk about this. Debbie, the child.
Oh, this is the best part.
I swear to God, like... So, at the beginning of the film, like, it's clearly a kid dubbing it. And then, like, halfway through the movie, like, when they get into the house, it's a grown adult woman.
I'll do my impression.
Like... Yeah, it feels like it's like a terrible impression of a woman trying to do a little kid's voice and
exactly what it sounded like.
Like
at first, you thought it was like they were like smashing the microphone into her face.
It sounded like it for a minute
because we couldn't understand anything she was saying.
It sounds like someone pressing theirself up to their microphone and like it's so bad. Like I don't understand how like. The director, which is also the writer, by the way, so he wrote and directed it. So he wrote those.
So he's like whatever they call it, one of those geniuses, like Quentin Tarantino.
You know? Oh, the Quentin Tarantino class, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
he has full creative control over his art.
Dude, he knows what he's doing. Okay, you saw the film, you know, you know how good it is. So. But like all the scenes, like just the dialogue, I don't even know how to begin to explain the dialogue. Like I feel like most of it is repeated. Like they repeat a lot of stuff. Like
yeah,
I don't know.
I can't remember most of them. I do remember one line though that we'll get to later because it's hilarious. So, and because like I almost didn't expect them to repeat it, but then they did.
Right.
We'll get to that. But I'm still baffled by the stupid kid dubbing.
I know.
Because it's so obviously a grown person trying to sound like a kid by like...
I mean, the good thing is you don't see Debbie a lot in the film. So like...
Well, she sleeps through half the movie.
Yeah, she's sleeping throughout the movie. And I mean, thank God for that because I don't think I could handle that kind of dubbing.
I think the movie would be funnier.
It would be. But the movie's already funny enough. So I mean, you don't really need to...
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. They should have had less scenes of people staring at each other and more scenes of Debbie's dubbing.
If they had more scenes of Debbie's dubbing, I swear it would be more entertaining. But like, God. Oh man. So next scene, I think what Debbie runs out and like into the, I'm trying to remember this movie.
We watched it 20 minutes ago and it's already like leaving our brains.
Yeah, I've already kind of blocked out some of the memories, but like Debbie, I think she runs outside to
for no reason.
And then they like the parents think she's playing like hide and seek. Yeah. And so they like start looking for her and the mom like goes into the door that Debbie left through, like opens it a little and then closes the door like you know like oh she's not in there. It's fine.
Well, do you remember after that they said this the door was locked.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit.
Right. They said it was bolted.
Yeah.
Which is like complete and utter horseshit. Like, I can't believe like...
Well, she just wakes up for no reason.
I know. Like,
she was sleeping for 30 minutes. And she just wakes up and just runs out of the...
Yeah. And then they're just like, oh, okay. She's not here. She must have been playing hide and seek in this random ass house we just like happened to run into.
Yeah.
And then, so they keep looking for her, and then I think that's when they show the master, isn't it?
No, that's...
Or is that later?
It's after that, because remember she finds the dog, who she keeps calling a puppy.
Oh, that's right,
bad,
yeah.
That's where we found out about the bad dubbing.
Yeah.
She keeps calling it a puppy. And after that, you see, like, they just cut to the master's, like, I don't know what you want to call it. His domain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just him on, like, a slab with a bunch of, like, with, like, a big rock behind him that has a hand imprint on it.
Yeah, I know. Like,
and, like, two women in robes. They look like they're from a movie. They look like they're from Spartacus or something.
Yeah, like, really sheer robes. I wonder if he found, like, the sheerest sheets he could find and just draped them over these women.
They look like they're from Spartacus or something.
Yeah. I love the stone, like, fist hand. Like, there's, like, hands everywhere in this movie. And yeah. I feel like the, like, director was, like, trying to be artistic. Like, oh, it's
foreshadowing.
It's called Manos, the Hands of Fate. You know what? We'll show a lot of hands. That'll be really good. It shows the master. He's laying down. This beautiful robe with two large red hands on it.
Yeah, his robe is just two large red hands come on the sides. They, like, kind of meet at the thumbs. And it's beautiful.
It's amazing. I will admit, they did the robe right. It's probably the only compliment I can give the film, is the robe actually looked kind of cool, I think.
You know what's unfortunate is I don't even remember what the hell happened after this scene. Do you remember what happened?
I'm trying to recall. I think he wakes up. And then,
what happened between him waking up and, like, because I know there's something before that.
It's like, I can't even my remember memory anymore. Recalls, yeah. Like, it's literally, my mind's, like, trying to erase the movie as I'm trying to remember it.
Well, should we talk about the subplot? Or should we talk about that later?
Maybe let's go into the subplot, yeah.
Okay, so, during the movie, they keep cutting to this couple, the ones that confused me earlier. They're just kissing in their car. And then a cop car pulls over to them, and they're like, you know, what are you doing? Because I guess in 1966 or whatever, it was illegal to just sit in your car and make out with someone. I don't know.
Apparently.
I don't know. So they pull over. It's the same cops from before. And they tell them some crap. And the acting is horrible. The woman keeps staring at the camera.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, stares at the camera and then pauses and then says her lines after she's done staring at the camera.
I wonder if they're holding, like, card cues. Like, they were, like, holding, like
that's
cues.
Probably what it was.
You know, like, yeah. They had the script off screen, so yeah. They were like, okay, all right, read this, you know, like.
That makes sense, honestly. I can see that.
Because she kept looking at the camera and then looking away and then looking at the camera and looking away.
Yeah.
And so, like, they were like, oh, man. Like,
oh, remember the alcohol?
Oh, yeah, the alcohol that the director was like, hey, just pretend this is alcohol.
They had this little, like, bottle. And the amount of alcohol in it never changes throughout the whole movie. Each scene of those couple, they take a swig, and then, you'll remember this, it cuts. And then it just, the alcohol from their hand just vanishes.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
They keep making out.
But they keep, like, they'll drink it, and then, like, it's like, they told them, you just pretend that it's really hard alcohol, so they make, like, this face of just, like, you know, just, oh, man, that's really heavy. And they show this in the beginning, and then, like, 30 minutes in, there's another scene. They're in the desert again.
Yeah.
Same thing. Cops pull up to them. Rinse, repeat. And then there's one more scene. Same thing.
Yeah. It's, like, literally the same scene every single time, too.
Yeah. Like, it's amazing.
They make out for a minute, drink the quote-unquote alcohol, and then the cops pull up and tell them to beat it. You know, like, it's rinse, repeat the entire time. Oh, my God. Beautiful movie. So, Master wakes up. I can't remember. I think, like, poor...
Do you remember the husband just is randomly passed out?
Yeah.
In the desert.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if we, like, maybe just, like, blanked it out or something, but, like...
We might have been laughing so hard that we missed it.
And then... What is it? Torgo, like, drags him to a tree.
It shows him taking his belt off.
And then
him to the tree.
Yeah.
At least that's what I thought happened, but we'll get to this later.
I think it's because, like, Torgo wanted, like, his wife to himself. Yeah. Like, you know.
I get that. But there's another issue I have with that scene, which we'll get to later, because it's stupid. But yeah, he ties him up, and then the master wakes up, and... I don't remember if he first goes and, like, quote-unquote kills Torgo, or if he summons the wives first. I think he kills Torgo first.
No, I think what happens... Okay, so what I remember is he wakes up and then sits down on the little pedestal so they can show the painting again. You know, the after.
Oh my god! Cut painting. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has his dog with him because the painting is Torgo and the dog, mm-hmm. and the dog in the painting looks very, very vicious. And then
so the master movie, and the dog
in the movie,
yeah.
it's like the most domestic dog right. on the planet. So he sits there, and then they flash an image of the painting.
They have to show the painting. There, I mean,
as if we forgot.
What if we did, okay, Alex?
They flashed it like, 50 times before, and then they just flashed it again for no reason.
It's a beautiful painting. I feel like it should be shown off enough, so. But yeah, he wakes up, and I think he summons the wives first.
Okay.
But he summons the wives, and I think it was supposed to be comedic, because they all start chattering.
Yeah, so he summons the wives, and I guess it's supposed to be like, they're the nagging, bickering wives. Because they just sit in a circle and it's just
yeah, it's like incoherent too. Like you can't understand anything they're saying.
And they're upset. They're upset that there's a family, but they're really upset that there's a young girl. And you remember that line?
Oh yeah, yes, the man, no, the child, or yeah. what was it? Yeah, it was like
something like that. But they said it once, like the man. No, the man. Yes.
Oh, the man. Yes, the child. No. Yes.
They said that line once.
Man,
and we're like, what the fuck is that dialogue? And then they say it again.
I feel like it's repeated a couple times actually during the movie.
It was only twice.
Was it?
But it was so ridiculous because like I was just thinking like, what kind of line is that? And then like 30 seconds later, they say it again because they're bickering because for some reason the wives of the master don't like. I don't know.
They don't want the child. I guess they don't want the master to own a child.
But we'll get to that because we'll see what happens at the ending.
Right.
Remember that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel
so it's
like
bullshit.
It's only like an hour and 15 minute movie, so we're almost to the ending actually right now. Even though it feels like we're at the time you're watching.
Do you want to talk about when he kills the first scene where he kills Torgo?
I think we should talk about because I think that's an important scene. But
so Torgo sleeps on a mound of dirt in a corner of a room, okay? I'm not joking. It's like they just brought dirt in from the outside, just piled it up, and he just sleeps on it.
Like the, okay? Like nothing. Like
it's
I mean,
great. That's beautiful set design.
When they pull up, you think Torgo's like kind of like keeps up the house and everything. Mm-hmm. Like you think he has his own room and stuff the way he takes care of the master, but
he likes sleeping on the dirt.
Yeah, apparently he does. And he just like sleeps like super awkwardly in a tiny little corner with this mound of dirt.
Yeah. And then Master shows up and makes him wake up by poking him with a stick.
Remember? Yeah, the metal claw staff.
Yeah, the Mono's staff.
The Mono's staff. Pokes him with it and then
he wakes up and then he gives this long speech.
Yeah,
I
about
remember
how
stupid thing.
It was about how Torgo had failed him, how like and how Torgo wanted the wife for himself because Manos, the master had so many wives, so Torgo,
it's not fair.
So Torgo deserves one.
Yeah. And then he stares at him, and then Torgo just falls asleep. And we're like, is that it? Is he dead?
But like, not falls asleep on his dirt mound again.
No,
he falls asleep
up.
On like the wall,
mm-hmm.
and we're supposed to like, I guess they were going for like maybe the master knocked him out, but it made me think that the master was trying to kill him.
Yeah, that's what we all thought.
Like that's the assumption, right?
Because
like,
that's what he said.
The master was trying to kill him.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah,
but no,
he's going to
he
die.
He shows up in the next scene, walking.
And oh boy, the next scene with Torgo.
Oh no! The next scene is where the wives start fighting.
Oh, remember? That's right, yeah. For
you can't
no,
forget that.
For, like, over that they shouldn't keep the child or whatever.
Yeah, they start fighting and they have the most amazing slaps in cinema history.
Like, staged doesn't even begin to describe those slaps. Like, they are the weakest slaps I've ever seen in my entire, like, film history.
Oh, it's great.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
They but it's like six of them. And they just go out into, like, this pit of sand, and they just slap each other for, like, 2 minutes.
It's like Rage in the Cage for, like, 2 minutes. Like, we're supposed to just, like, be okay, like...
We're supposed to care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand that scene at all.
That scene is wonderful, though.
It's a wonder to
some of them get knocked out, like, just knocked out cold by these slaps, and it's hilarious.
I love, like, the one that, like, punches the other one. Like, how she, like, you know, kind of, like, softly punches him. Yeah. And, like drags her hand in the sand. Yeah.
It's all very soft.
Totally.
I don't remember. Well, we forgot to mention that the wife just falls asleep, remember?
Yeah, I totally... I didn't think it was important, because she just falls asleep on the bed.
It's very important. Yeah, so the husband, before he knocks himself out magically in the desert, tells the wife and the kid to go in the room and barricade themselves. And the wife just goes in front of a mirror and, like, you know, kind of beauties herself up.
Casually undresses, right.
And casually undresses and just falls asleep.
Oh, yeah.
In spite of all these things happening. And then eventually she wakes up because she hears something. We don't know what she hears because there's no sound effects in the movie. So it doesn't matter.
I feel like there might have been at one point, but, like, they just decided, like, hey, like, we couldn't get the voices right, so we're just going to take out every single, like, line of audio and then put in dubbing.
I think we have to talk about the scene where Torgo, quote-unquote, dies.
Yeah, but does he really die? Because he really doesn't.
No, you see him run away, but we'll get to that.
So, Torgo is taken from his apparent death from the hands of the master and taken into
the manos of the master.
Yes. The he's taken into this, like, the chamber again, or what we're supposed to think is the chamber where you see the master for the first time. And they lay him down on this pedestal, and, you know, again the master gives this, like, weird speech about
I don't know.
I don't even know.
It's like just some stupid, like, generic horror movie cult shit. Doesn't matter.
And then the...
it's all gobbledygook. It doesn't matter.
And then the wives, and then he's like, kill! Kill Torgo! Yeah, yeah. And then...
they wrestle him to death.
I swear, they literally just move him. Like, they're just, yes. Like someone trying to wake someone up. Like...
Yeah, if you're, like, laying down on your back and someone just runs up to you and, like, grabs, like, your shirt and just starts, like, kind of pushing you back and forth, that's what happens.
They just nudge him. Like, they just kind of nudge him to death. Yeah. Or, well, what we're supposed to think to death. And then, like, it shows the shot of all these wives, like, their hands going all over his face.
The camera's, like, pointed at the wives and they're kind of, like, doing, like, these grabbing motions.
Yeah.
Like, those little, you know, those little toy things you put in the quarter and it, like, grabs the toy for you. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing to him.
Yeah,
what it looks like.
And then it, like, goes back to the shot of them just rustling him more and more and more.
And we're just like, is that it?
Yeah, like...
We thought it was a joke.
I was like, is he dead? Because, like... And then he
just keeps getting rustled for a bit. But then he finally, quote-unquote, dies.
Even though you can still see him breathing.
You can still see him breathing, but that's just... That's the whole movie.
And so, quote-unquote, dies is a good way to put it, because they push him off the pedestal, and then he starts getting back up.
Yeah,
because
Torgo, like, does, like, a kind of, like, a come hither thing with his hands. With his manos, excuse me.
The master does the thing with his hand. Manos, yes.
And then dead Torgo stands up and sticks his hand in the... There's, like, this fire pit.
With the hand reaching up.
In there, and the hand does kind of, like, a... I don't know what you'd call this... An okay gesture.
Yeah.
Where it's like the index finger and the thumb are meeting. And he, like, sticks his hand inside the circle. And suddenly, there's a cut. And suddenly, Torgo is holding a, like, skeleton hand.
Yeah.
And that's on fire and bleeding.
The master is holding his hand. And then Torgo runs away. Yeah.
And as he's running away, you see him, like, waving his arms and his bloody, like, and he has a stump that's just on fire. And then, that's the last you see of Torgo.
That's the last you see of Torgo. So he's finally dead, I guess? I don't know. But the master, again, makes a grand speech about something, I don't know.
They were really proud of this. Because he keeps holding the bleeding hand, and they show it over and over, and it's like, it's on fire, and it, like, it's bleeding, like, there's fake blood coming out of it, and he does his grand speech, and then he threatens one of the wives.
And then throws it on the ground.
He throws it on the ground.
But, man, they keep cutting to that, because
he's, like, threatening the wife and, like, slapping her over and over, and it keeps, like, showing these really uncomfortable close-ups of his face. It'll just, like, they'll be, like, talking, and then it just cuts to, like, 2 seconds of the stupid hand on the ground on fire. and does this over and over and over again for no reason.
Yeah, for like a good, it feels like a good 30 minutes, but it's actually like maybe two. But, and then doesn't it cut back to Michael getting out of the,
are we
back
to that? Oh yeah, he finally wakes up.
Yeah.
So he wakes up, no, you forgot the part where the one of the wives tries to wake him up.
Oh, I'm sorry, remember? Yes. Oh
yeah, she's unhappy.
Right, that's after the master slaps her, yeah.
No, that's a different one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting confused.
I know. I mean, it's no, trust me, they all look the same. But it doesn't matter. So one of them tries to wake up Michael as he's asleep, and she, like, kisses him on the neck and, like, tries to seduce him awake. It doesn't work. She gets pissed off and does this motion where she, like, slaps her.
Oh, yeah, she's like, eh, it's just, like, an over-exaggerated, yeah.
And just walks away, and eventually he wakes up. And suddenly he's not tied up anymore. And his gun is like 5 feet away from him.
Yeah, because he just easily like undoes his belt.
He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He just wakes up and like there's no belt.
He grabs the... Torgo apparently is the worst henchman ever because he forgot to take away the gun and the flashlight. But you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, it was just 5 feet away from him.
And then... so he grabs the gun and the flashlight. Is that when they go back to the making out couple? For the third time.
I think so. It's at night then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're making out at night, and they do the make out, and then the drinking the the quote-unquote alcohol, yep. And then the cops show up.
And then the cops show up again. The same cops. Like, it's the same cops each time.
Shit you not. Three times in a row in the same movie. Cops
each time. And they show up again, and then they're like, oh, why don't you go hassle that other couple? And they're like, what other couple? Oh, that couple that drove up here, and then they're like, they get kind of curious. So I guess they drive up further up the road to where the Michael and his family are. And...
but they don't really show them at the house, remember? They just, the cops get out of the car and they have like...
No, they're out.
That,
well, because that goes nowhere, but we'll get to that.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yeah, right.
So they get... so all this shenanigans happens. He gets the family and they're like, let's run away. We're going to run away. Like, where will we go? Oh, we'll hide in the desert. We're like, okay, that's stupid, but that's something. It's an idea.
Right? So, like, Michael thinks it's a grand idea to go out in the desert and hide because there's so many hiding places in the desert.
It's the middle of the night.
Yeah. So, they go through and they keep tripping. Like, I noticed they kept trying to fill time, so, like, the family keeps tripping. So, like, the wife will fall down and, like, hurt her knee.
That was later, but yeah. First, the husband falls down.
Oh, that's right, yeah. The husband falls down first, and then, like, gets up and, like, has to, like, dust himself off.
He spends a whole minute dusting himself off.
Yep.
He has to look presentable.
And then the wife, proceeds to fall over herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just both of them, like, tripping in the desert. Mm-hmm. And then she
can't
falls,
walk anymore.
And she sees a rattlesnake.
Yes.
This is my favorite, most beautiful
my favorite
scene.
Character in the movie is a rattlesnake.
Yeah. You mean the obvious, like,
stock
footage of a rattlesnake? The best they could find in the 60s was this extreme close-up of a rattlesnake. And then...
oh, no, we forgot to mention that before they see the rattlesnake, remember their idea? We're going to go back to the house.
Oh, yeah, they want to run back to the house because it's the safest place to hide.
Yeah.
even though at this point the master has sent his wives out to look for them, but the master is still at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So assuming that it's the safest place to hide is ridiculous.
It's the place that got them into all this trouble, and their best idea is to
run back there. Michael is a genius, okay?
Because he says, and I'm quoting, they'll never think to look there.
Exactly. And and then, okay, so then they see the rattlesnake, right?
Yeah.
So we get this, like, they are, you know, presumably shocked, and then we see a stock footage of a rattlesnake.
No, we see that, and then he shoots the non-existent rattlesnake.
With the fakest gun sound I've ever heard.
It cuts back to the stock footage, and the rattlesnake just kind of, like...
curls up.
No, it
doesn't
leaves. Do that.
It leaves, doesn't
no.
it? What does it
no,
do?
No. It, like, moves his head out of the frame. It just... slightly moves his head out of the frame, and then it's apparently dead, and the cops hear it, and then they said your favorite line. Do you remember?
Oh, man, what was it?
I'll give you a hint. The sound traveling.
Oh yeah, remember? They say something like the sound sounds louder at night or something.
It travels faster
at night.
Yeah, they hear the gunshot.
Yeah, but they think it's from Mexico.
He's like, oh, it could be from anywhere because the sound travels
faster at night,
so yeah. It could be from anywhere. I guess. I don't know.
Suspension of disbelief only goes so far.
That's a great science.
So then they chalk it up to it just being from Mexico, apparently, yeah. And they leave. They just leave. They just pack. Mm-hmm. They just go.
Yeah.
After that couple had already told them that, like, you know, they're looking for the other couple.
Yeah. You just hear gunshots in the middle of nowhere.
They just leave. They're just like, yeah, we're not going to do cop stuff tonight. Sound travels faster at night, so it must be from Mexico.
God.
And so Michael
gets back to the house.
Oh, and then the amazing. This is so close to the end. It's beautiful. So they get back to the house, and immediately, and I mean immediately, the master comes right out of the room. Like, immediately. Like, Mike. they don't even show Michael's, like, expression, like, oh, I really fucked up. They kind of just, like, master's here. Here he is. And he just walks out, and then. And then we get a cut.
Do you remember? Okay, even before that, do you remember that there's that one shot of them walking towards the room after the master comes out, and in that shot you don't see the master. It's like they just used a random.
No, that was when. Okay, so it cuts, and then it shows them shows Michael reacting to the master, yeah. And he's shooting.
Yeah.
But it's showing the room where the master's supposed to be standing, yeah, and the master's there. Not there.
Yeah.
He's shooting at nothing.
Yeah.
And then. And then it shows a close-up of Michael holding the gun at the camera.
Yeah.
And then
he shoots it again.
And then we get a blurry...
It cuts to the master, and the camera's, like, out of focus. Oh,
it's such a blurry image of the master. I don't understand why they kept that.
And then it fades to black.
And you're like, is that it? Is that the end? Okay. No.
And then suddenly there's a shot of a car driving up a road, and I just kept saying, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the ending?
Well, then they turn on the exact same road that the family turned on to get up to the
house. So we're like, oh, shit. Is this going to be like, oh, it's another family? And it's like these two women. They're like, oh, I'm so glad to be out of the city. And then they run into the kissing couple.
Yeah, shocker. For the fourth time in a row, they run into the making out couple that apparently has their favorite spot. And it's just that one spot.
They go there every day.
Every single day just to make out.
They can't go home.
They have to drink their quote-unquote alcohols, okay?
Look, you can't get a hotel.
No.
Or go home.
Why would you?
So you just go, like, in this dirt road.
You go in the middle of the Texas desert.
That goes to the murder cabin.
Yeah, it's fine. So then, in the biggest twist of them all, they get lost and get to the house, and Michael's at the door instead of Torgo, because Torgo's dead?
Dead.
I guess.
Apparently.
And Michael's like, hello, I'm Michael. I watch out after the house while the master's away. Yeah.
So basically he repeats the exact same thing Torgo told them. And then you see a shot of the painting again, and the credits roll.
So, I think
that's when our brains died.
Yep. So, I think it was a fitting introduction to our first podcast.
We needed beer to get through this.
So, what are your final thoughts on Manos, the Hands of Fate? Or should I say, if we're translating in direct English, Hands, the Hands of Fate.
It's pathetic. I don't know what to say. It's pathetic. Like, it's like a nightmare, almost. Just the lack of sound effects just drives me so insane. Because all you hear is the stupid music and the stupid dubbing. There's nothing else. That's it. And it's like watching someone's stupid nightmare. And it doesn't stop. And it feels way longer than an hour and 10 minutes. I'll tell you that.
It is kind of an unrelenting experience. It feels way too long. Like, it feels like one of those, like, 3-hour movies that you just want to end, but it just doesn't. It just keeps going.
But it's only an hour and 10 minutes.
I feel like it was 30 minutes too long. Like, I feel like
Can you imagine how little, like, footage there would be if you cut out all the driving and all the stupid staring?
Yeah.
Or shortened it?
Right. It would be, like, it would literally be, I think, 45 minutes long.
Someone should do, like, I was going to say someone should make an edit of this movie. to where they cut out all the stupid driving and all the stupid staring and just see, like, how much actual content is in this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'd guess maybe half an hour.
In my opinion, it's not even, like, one of those movies that's, like, so bad that it's entertaining.
Oh, I disagree.
It's...
This thing is,
I don't know,
an experience.
I don't know if I'd call it... It's an experience, but I don't know if I'd call it even entertaining. It's so, like... You can tell this was a bet. Like, it's blatantly apparent.
It looks exactly like what I would expect a shit salesman from Texas to make.
Exactly. I mean, and it does its job. He made a movie. Like, look,
I forgot the guy's name. I just looked at it 20 minutes ago. Whatever his name is, had a dream, and we witnessed the dream, and it is pathetic. I just have to say that.
I don't think he made any other movies, thank
no,
God.
No, he didn't.
Like, that was his only movie.
I don't think anyone involved in this made any other movies.
Well, good. I don't... This is like a career starter and a career ruiner all in one. Like,
I want to know how much money they spent for the stupid bloody hand.
I wonder how much money they spent on that robe. Like, that was beautiful.
Not much. I don't know. Go to some tailor and just be like, hey, can you make me a robe that has, like,
two red hands? Like, meeting in
and
the
they're
room.
Like, okay, fine, I guess. Everything else is just bullshit.
So...
They probably filmed it in, like, the guy's house or some shit. I don't know.
I don't feel like you guys should watch this movie at all. I feel like we've done your work for you. Like, you don't need to watch Manos, but if you do, it's free on YouTube. There's a 1080p.
No, I think you should watch this in every movie we watched from now on, because I want you to suffer
as much as we have suffered. Exactly.
We suffered for the sins of these people, and you should too.
Yeah, so
bring beer.
Manos, the Hands of Fate. I feel like you should have some libation with you. You might want to get a little drunk for this one. It's
you need a friend.
There's a reason it has a 1.5 rating on IMDb.
You need a friend for this one.
Yeah, it's
you can't watch this alone. We tried.
You definitely have to talk through this one. It's not one that you can easily take in by yourself. Well, I guess that's all we have to say about it. Do you have any final words on it?
No.
Yeah, I'm in disbelief.
If the director listens to this, I'm sorry.
I mean,
your picture's embarrassing.
you had a nice robe though.
Yeah, I'll take that robe.
The robe, and I feel like the hand, the special effects on the hand were actually pretty good for the 60s.
Someone should cosplay as that.
Yeah. Or Torgo. I think Torgo 2018, you should do that cosplay. But anyway, yeah, so Manos, Hands of Fate, it's our first podcast, so if you liked us, we'll be releasing one pretty much every week, I think.
If you don't, we will be anyways, so
yeah, right.
Suck our dicks.
Yeah, so we'll be doing bad horror movies and bad action movies. We're going to start. We started with Manos because it was the worst, presumably the worst of the worst, but we'll be going towards the 70s now. So we're going to make our way through the 70s, bad horror movies, action movies. It's going to be...
We're going to make our way up the years as far as we can until we drink ourselves to death.
Well, it's going to be an interesting ride. So anyway, thanks so much for listening. I'm Will.
And I'm Alex.
And we'll talk to you later.